You're listening to A Conduit's Diary. This is a podcast about me, Rachel, and my experiences as I investigate paranormal activity as a conduit. This is rated R for explicit because I do have a little bit of a foul mouth. Thanks for listening, and be sure to subscribe and rate this podcast wherever you listen to it. And here's the season finale for season 3, episode 40, Answers. I took a deep breath before pushing open the door to my mother's room. It wasn't her actual room, not the one in the house I grew up in. This was a new room, a room meant to house her for the last however long she had. The cancer was spreading. It was nearly time. I'd known it was coming before Hema let out her ear-splitting scream. I think my mom did too, and that's why she looked so terrified when Hema came over unannounced. She knew what Hema was, and she knew what she'd do. The room smelled antiseptic, like the surgery suite in the veterinarian's office we sometimes worked with at the rescue. It was trying hard to be cheerful. The paintings on the wall were of people smiling. The windows were open to let the summer sun in. I tried to take in everything in the room, except for my mother. She sat in the reclining bed, staring absently at the wall. Her eyes only flickered to me moments before going back to the wall. "I told them I didn't want visitors," she huffed. Forever proud, my dying mother didn't even want her children to see her like this. We were all she had left. I'm not sure if Stephanie ever came, or the last time they spoke. They had some weird friendship in their later years, probably once Stephanie got over not being the favorite, despite being the eldest. Maybe seeing that ghost changed her opinion of us, Mom included. I'll never know. Stephanie and I knew better than to talk about Mom. "I think they feel bad for you," I offered. Her lip curled the slightest bit in disgust, just like I knew it would. The last few months together made me relearn all her tells I used to know so well as a child. The tenuous friendship we built was out of necessity. I knew that. She was lamenting the fact she never taught me all we could do. When she realized she was mortal and her time wasn't endless, she really cracked down, taking me to the edges of what we could possibly do. But there was something she still hadn't told me. I settled in the chair next to her bed, trying not to look at the array of monitors attached to her. It wasn't supposed to look like a hospital, but there's nothing that screams hospital more than the incessant beeping of monitors. "I just said I was your daughter and they let me in. They said they didn't know you had children." I tried to keep the accusation out of my voice, but it wasn't easy. "They don't need my life story. If they knew, they'd try to find you and drag you here and watch me die, which is exactly what I didn't want." That's the problem with seeing ghosts. You become too comfortable with death. Nothing about it scares or surprises you anymore. My mother wasn't ready to die so much as she was ready to be done with how helpless dying made her feel. She hated relying on anyone for anything. I could tell how miserable she was by it all. "Well, you get me at least. Stephanie would talk your ear off and befriend all the nurses," I offered. The ghost of a smile slid over her face. "Your sister is very talkative," she allowed. We sat in silence for nearly 10 minutes before I cracked. "I need to know," I said. She harumphed. "Do you? Do you really? Would it do anything? Change anything?" she asked. I raised an eyebrow. "Do you not know?" She rolled her eyes. "Of course I know. I'm just asking. Once you know, you can't unknow. Do you want that burden?" I honestly couldn't imagine what would be so awful about our history that knowing would somehow undo me. I'd seen enough awful shit from communicating with the dead. How much worse could it get? "Did it change things for you, knowing?" I asked. She considered this a minute, her dark eyes boring into mine. "Yes," she said quietly. "Yes, it did, but it won't for you. I don't think. I think it can end with you. End with me? What did that even mean? Have you ever heard of the monkey's paw? She asked suddenly. I frowned, angry at the change of subject. Like a rabbit's foot? I asked. She shook her head. No, it's an old story. It's about a relic, a mummified monkey's paw. If you possess it, it will grant you 3 wishes. However, the price you pay for these wishes is steep. Okay, I said hesitantly, feeling my anger rising. Your great-grandmother made a wish long ago, a wish that carried down the line. You see, Grandma and Grandpa loved each other more than anything. He took her away from her drunk father and abusive mother in the middle of the night. He moved them to Phoenix, far, far away, and they started a life together. They lived modestly, but they made it work, and they were deeply in love. Grandma said he'd bring her home flowers every Friday on his way home from work. He'd pull over on the side of the road during the spring to collect wildflowers. In the summer and winter, he'd go to the store and get them. One spring, he pulled over to collect the flowers when a car swerved off the road and hit him. He was declared dead on the scene. She didn't find out for 3 days. It was harder to identify people then. She fell to the ground in the morgue, and they had to hospitalize her for a few days because she was so distraught. Fully medicated, she was brought home. They had 2 children, 2 daughters. The neighbor was taking care of them and promised to check in on Grandma. One night, in a particularly awful fit of depression, she sunk to her knees and wished. She didn't pray. Her mother was a religious fanatic, and Grandma swore she'd never be that way. She fell to the ground next to her bed and started to whisper wishes. She said the darkness under the bed pulsated like it was alive. She reached out to touch it and was pulled into the shadows, into the darkness under her bed. She fell for ages, she said, losing track of time and what was up and what was down. Finally, after what felt like decades, she stopped, and in front of her stood him. I didn't need her to elaborate. I knew him. I knew by the way my mom spoke about him. It was the demon, the creature that knelt beside Anthony's dying body and whispered to me. He said he couldn't take her sadness. He said he was someone that could help her, a being strong enough to make her wishes come true. He promised her anything. She said she wanted to see Grandpa again. She wanted to talk to him and know he was there. She wanted this more than anything, she said. She'd promise anything. This demon, he was clever. He said, I can make it so you can see him. I can make it so you can speak to him, communicate him. Would you like that? Yes, she said. She was crying now. This was all she wanted. And this thing, this unearthly creature, was promising it to her. She knew he wasn't good, but she didn't care. He didn't look like what Christians said the devil looked like. She figured he couldn't be that bad. How many evil things are there in the world, really? He continued on. I can make it so your children will see you, too. Would you like to talk to your children after you're gone? Watch over them? They can see you, too. She nodded. She wanted this, too. She worried about her daughters in a world without their father. What if they lost her, too? She knew how quickly life could change after that. One of your daughters will be blessed, one in every generation, he told her. It seemed like the perfect deal. She could see her love, they could communicate, and one of the girls would be able to see her when she'd passed. They'd never be alone. Death wouldn't separate them. But Grandma, despite her grief, was not dumb. What's the price? She asked. The demon shrugged. If you have a son, or if your daughters or their daughters have a son, they will do me favors. She didn't understand. The price seemed so small. Favors? She asked, hoping for clarification. He nodded. I need certain things to be strong, to grant other people wishes. I need someone to do these favors for me. One girl in each generation will have the sight until a boy is born. Then he will fulfill the half of the bargain, and it will end. Grandma took the bargain. She didn't realize what it would mean. She woke up the next morning in her bed, feeling like she'd just had a very strange dream. She walked through the day not understanding what she'd done until she started to see them. That's when she realized what sort of deal she'd made. It passed on to her eldest daughter, who passed it down the line. Grandma realized right then and there that she'd made a mistake, but there was only one way to end it. Have a boy. But if she had a boy, he'd be in the service of that demon. And she knew that it would be to do evil things. So each generation befriended a witch and made sure there were no boys in the line, just girls. She stopped then, her eyes landing heavily on me. And I was the end? Why? Because I was in my 30s and didn't have kids? Neither did Stephanie. Was it that simple? Just don't reproduce? So if I don't have a child, it ends? Mother shrugged, her smile rueful. You know it's not that simple. You know there's something she didn't remember, some trick, something that locks us in. Service in the afterlife, maybe? Did she ever see Great-Grandpa again? I asked. Mother shook her head. No, just as I've never been able to find my mother or my grandmother. Wherever they are, they're not reachable, or they refuse to be called upon. Does that scare you? I asked. She shrugged again, but her expression wasn't so flippant. Are you worried you'll end up with him? I asked. Sometime during the story, I'd reached out to grab her hand, and she'd let me. She squeezed it then. I don't think so. I trust my feelings, and when my mom passed, it was peaceful. I don't think he can touch us when we die. I think it's when we're truly free. She shook her head. No, I think I'm almost free of him. I see him from time to time, lingering in the shadows. He wants a way in, and he'll try to find it. Don't let him, Rachel. Whatever he promises isn't worth it. The consequences are too steep. Sometime during the afternoon, we turned on the TV and watched stupid shows, laughing and joking as though nothing were out of the ordinary. When I woke up the next morning, my mother was dead. Well, that ends season 3. I just need a little bit of time. I'll update you guys when we come back, but I don't know when that'll be.
A Conduit's Diary is created by me, written and produced by me, mixed horribly and edited by me. Cover art created by BMC Design on Fiverr. Music, intro and outro, created by Chris Hornberger.